Hello and welcome to the Anti Football Podcast. My name is Chris, and as always, I am joined by Harry. Don't know about you, Harry, but it's pretty miserable up north. It's been all right for most of this winter, but it's starting to turn to shit. What's it like down south?
The same, yeah. Pretty shit, yeah.
Exactly, it's fucking annoying. Because, like, I mean, on fucking Christmas Day, like, you'd see it, and it would perfectly sunny. It was beautiful Christmas Day. And then now it's just pretty overcast and gone to shit, basically. It's fucking horrible. I hate overcast. The worst weather, overcast, isn't it?
So dreary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Something that isn't dreary, though, the FA Cup, although it is usually dreary for Burnley fans, but I'm still fucking proud of that segue. Yeah, I mean, there's not really been too many shocks in terms of FA Cup, but I thought we can go through some of the bigger matches. The biggest shock, though, being Liverpool under-12s managing to beat Everton. How the fuck did they do that, Harry?
Oh, that was a terrible match. Everton were absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you think about it, there was just nothing from that Everton team. And I mean, think back to Ancelotti's first game. Yeah, granted, it were against Burnley, but they still looked like a decent side. And this Everton team, they've not looked bad under Ancelotti. And I mean, they had to win this game, and they didn't. They bottled it. I mean, don't get me wrong, brilliant goal from Curtis Jones. Brilliant. But they've got to be doing better, surely.
There was a spell at the start where they did look good.
Like the first quarter of an hour.
Yeah, Adrian just kept Liverpool in it somehow. Some world-class saves. I think if they had gone in, maybe it would have been a different story we'd be talking about. But after that 15 minutes expired, they capitulated completely. And being outplayed by kids, basically, which is embarrassing.
I know. We managed to see a debut, though, for Liverpool, for Minamino, obviously freshly joined from RB. Fuck me. Oh, there's been some over me recently where I can't speak English. But he's recently joined from Red Bull Salzburg, that's what we're trying to say. It looked all right. I mean, it won't really stand out, but I mean, obviously it's going to take a bit of time to adapt to a team as strong as Liverpool's, isn't it?
I thought he played decently, but I don't think he'll be getting into that starting lineup anytime soon.
No.
He's basically going to be a fringe player and a player for the future.
I'm not too sure about his best position, though, because, I mean, I haven't watched much of the Austrian league, personally. I saw him in the Champions League,
yeah.
And he seemed to work well out wide, but he also seems to work well in the centre of the park as well. Like, sort of almost a number 10 or even maybe a number 8. So, I mean, I'm not really too sure on what his best position is. I mean, I know he played out wide, didn't he, in this game. But, I mean, I'd like to see what he does in sort of the Naby Keita role, trying to be a little bit more energy into that midfield, which at times can be a little bit stagnant from Liverpool. It is often bypassed.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be taking Keita's place anytime soon. He's probably been, well, he's easily been one of the best midfielders in the league and possibly the world. Probably just behind Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying necessarily like replacing Keita. I just mean sort of in a sort of playmaker-y role. Just give him a chance to see what he can do in the centre of the park rather than out wide. Which, I mean, he looked all right out wide. And he looked all right out wide in the Champions League. But just see what he can do in the middle of the park. I feel like it'd be a good opportunity to see. Because, I mean, the Premier League's done. They could basically field a team of anyone in that Liverpool squad and they'd still win the Premier League. So it's a good chance to maybe test some things out for the Champions League and for next season, is basically all of Liverpool's remaining league games.
I think he's only signed them as squad depth. I don't know if we're going to see any more signings. Are they linked to anyone?
Not that I've seen. I mean, maybe they'd be looking for a sort of a backup striker, maybe now that they've loaned out Rhian Brewster to Swansea. But I doubt that, really. I don't think they need anyone, to be honest with you. The only thing, personally, would be perhaps some backup at fullback. But, I mean, I don't really think that's necessary. I don't think
Milner's injured, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, we know, obviously, Joe Gomez can slot in at right back. very easily. But in terms of left back, there's not really too many options. What happened to Moreno? He seems to have just vanished. Has he left the summer?
They definitely, like, I don't know whether they released him or they got rid of him. But he's
he went to like Valencia or somewhere.
Yeah, Villarreal,
that's it.
I think
I knew it began with a V.
He's so injury pro, I don't he's playing. Let's have a look.
Yeah, I mean I don't
know. Oh, wow, four games.
Ooh, 4 games, wow.
He's so injury prone, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame because he looked like a decent little player. I mean, obviously not at the level of an Andy Robertson, but he still looked like a decent little left back.
Yeah. I think that was what was holding him back was the injury prone. They didn't want to just be paying for a guy to be sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I know that they stopped Shaqiri going on loan to Inter. They blocked that move. So yeah, they're looking to hold on to players rather than sign them, it looks like.
Yeah. I don't really get that, to be honest with you. I mean, Shaqiri, he's not getting a look in. I mean, even in this game, where basically the whole team was rotated, well, he didn't even get a look in there. So like,
never get on the bench, yeah.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, and he's not going to be starting, obviously. So if you've got players like Harvey Elliman and Mina Elliam, fuck me, Jesus Christ, I'm going to cut all these out. If you've got players like Harvey Elliott and Minamino, like, out wide, as well as, like, you know, some of the potential players who could play out wide, you know, like Ox, maybe, because he always started out as a winger before he turned into a centre mid. Origi, he can play out wide. I just don't see where Shaqiri really fits into this Liverpool team.
I doubt they'd be playing Harvey Elliott in the actual league, so... Mm.
They could afford to, though, if they wanted to. Could have easily afforded to.
Oh, yeah. They've got plenty of points that they can drop.
Yeah.
But not like they're going to do it. It's another one. I think they're just trying to retain everyone just to keep morale up, like, not have people questioning their futures.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a bit of a funny one, really. Because they could probably get decent chunk of change for Shaqiri. Especially if teams like Inter Milan. I just mean, like, if there's clubs like Inter Milan sniffing around, like, they're really going in for Premier League players, aren't they, Inter Milan?
Yeah, they weren't linked with anyone young. They were linked with Ashley Young.
Linked with Giroud as well.
I think
I saw Marcus Rojo as well being linked with them.
Oh, God.
They're top of Serie A.
Yeah, I know. That's just the disparity between those leagues, isn't it?
Mm.
And you have Juve, who's got Ronaldo. And you've got Inter looking at Giroud, who's good on his day, but he's no Ronaldo.
No. I do like Giroud, though. I feel like he's been criminally underrated. Like, to be honest with you, if it weren't for how good Tammy Abraham's been, Giroud would have been a good enough starter for Chelsea this season if Abraham didn't find the form that he's in.
Yeah. Oh, I've just read they're linked with Christian Eriksen.
Ah, yeah.
Which, again, he's no... Because
he can go on a free in summer, can't he?
Oh, okay.
I think. So, I think they've been bidding for, like, 20 million to get him now. Which, I mean, if I'm Tottenham, I'm taking that all day. Because he's not going to re-sign Eriksen.
Yeah, they may as well just cash out now.
Exactly, yeah.
They've signed Spinazzola from Roma. He's been all over Italy, Juve. I think he was at Sampdoria. Bit of a weird one. So that puts the Young deal in jeopardy.
But he has turned down a contract at Manchester United, though, as Ashley Young. It's an interesting one to watch unfold.
I think he's... He's been decent at United as a right back, but I don't think he has the physicality of the Italian league.
I feel like he'd flourish under a Conte system, though. Like, as a wing back. Like, an actual wing back. Like, I feel like he'd flourish under that.
Really? I think someone like Zappacosta would be good in that system with him.
Well, he came from Serie A, didn't he? Zappacosta. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not better options out there. I mean, I'm sure if he could, Conte would be looking at signing Marcus Alonso.
Oh yeah, that's another name linked.
Yeah. But I mean, Ashley Young, I think he'd do alright as a sort of... Because wing-backs, they're basically just half wingers, half defenders. And since Ashley Young's not very good at either, he could maybe flourish at that.
Yeah. I don't think he's that good going forward. I think he's more of a ball stopper, isn't he?
Yeah, potentially. But, I mean, you can't forget that he was a winger for about 12 years. Like,
yeah, was he 33, 34 now?
I think he's 34 now. Jeez. So he's been a winger for ages. He did start off as a left-back, didn't he, for Villa, if I'm not mistaken.
Wasn't he at Watford at one point?
He might have been.
So or not?
Yeah.
I can picture him in a yellow jersey.
Maybe then. I'm not too sure.
Oh, yeah, he started his career there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he hasn't got a lot of goals for United. 192 appearances, 15 goals. Mm. And I think if you're a wing-back, you'd probably get a little more goals than 15 in almost 200 appearances.
Yeah. Mind you, you've got to consider before the likes of Pep and Jose, before them what came into the league, no, not necessarily Jose, but before like Pep came into the league, like wingers cutting inside, that was a rarity, that. Like, they were mainly playmakers out wide.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure if you looked at the amount of assists that Young got, he'll have had loads, getting crosses in for Rooney and Van Persie.
That's a good point, yeah.
Welbeck. I still think he has something to offer, Young. And I feel like, under a Conte system, I think he'd flourish.
Well, Marcos Alonso certainly did, because he was getting plenty of goals from set pieces, isn't that?
Yeah. We've really diverged from this Liverpool-Everton game. Is there all else you want to add, or we move on?
No, not really, yeah. Let's move on.
Go on, I'll let you talk about the Chelsea-Nottingham Forest game. I mean, I haven't seen it, so it'll literally just be your views being put across here.
Okay. Well, again, completely rotated 11, much like Liverpool. And weirdly, so did Nottingham Forest. They mixed it up as well. They brought in a few young lads. I believe they put a 18-year-old and a 17-year-old up top. So they obviously, I think they were just playing for the occasion rather than going through. Yeah, just Chelsea dominated. 75% possession. I think 2-0 was basically just us trying to get through. I think we didn't want to embarrass these young lads because, you know, they're only a league below. It's a bit harsh to go. Not going to bloody put 9 past them or something. Could easily done so. Last time we did the podcast, I criticised Callum Hudson-Odoi. I said, I don't think he's ready for the Premier League. He scored, and then I saw Chelsea fans going, ha-ha, oh, look at him, he's scoring now.
Against Championship opposition.
Yeah.
Bigly rotated. Bigly? Yeah. Is Bigly a word? Bigly's a word now. Against Bigly rotated Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get onto the weekend, though, in a little bit. Right.
Yeah, my opinion's still not changed. I think, okay, 2 goals, 2 games. For someone who's apparently worth 40 million in Bayern Munich's eyes, that's just not enough return. He has had plenty of game time. But Batshuayi's been very, very underwhelming. I think, well, yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to Villa now because Drinkwater's gone there, so.
Yeah. Well, unless they wanted a permanent, but I doubt they'd be able to fork out what Chelsea
are owned by billionaires.
Well, I say they couldn't afford. They probably wouldn't want to fork out what Chelsea would want for him.
No.
Because
I'm
hearing figures around about 15 to 20 million for Batshuayi is what's been
really wanted.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable. They got Vesely for that.
Yeah, but they've already paid that for one striker who's been underwhelming. Would they want to pay for that for a striker who could potentially be underwhelming? It was underwhelming for Chelsea. And it was all right for Palace, but would he get that same sort of return?
His best time was obviously at Marseille and that loan spell at Dortmund.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm very surprised they didn't even sign him after that.
They don't have many striker wars now, the Dortmund.
No, it's true. Yeah, just pretty much Chelsea dominating the game, keeping the scoreline humble. Could have easily had more. But Forest weren't causing any threats, so there was we did 774 passes. Yeah. I know we were playing mainly in the park a lot. I think we were just pissing about, to be honest.
Yeah. More of a trading session.
Yeah.
Something I want to point out as well, Barkley managing to score, and he played on the weekend against Burnley. He seems like he's sort of pushing himself into front Lampard's plans a little bit. What are your opinions on Barkley?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to ever hit the form that he did at Everton, where he was considered one of their best players at one point. You know, he did score in this game, but again, it's that rotated side. Rotated lesser side, even. I don't know why he's in Lampard's plans. There's definitely a better midfield trio, even. I'd probably pick even Lamptey over him, because he's been pretty decent in the games he's played. But Jorginho, Kovacic and Kante is the best trio for me. Barkley shouldn't really get a look in, because I don't rate him since he signed. Been very, very disappointing. But we only signed for 20 million, so...
Yeah. And I feel like it's sort of been really unlucky for one Mason Mount as well. Because Kovacic has just been in the form that he is. He's probably your best... One of your standout players this season, I'd say, Kovacic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he went from, over nearly 200 games without scoring. Then he hits this absolute brilliant goal right after.
Worldy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. He likes to come forward. Good playmaker. I think, although he's not a goal scorer like Mount, he's a really good creative player. I think he can last 90 minutes more than... Mount can, but Mount's only 21, so he's got plenty of time to get in the Chelsea team.
Yeah. Have you all else to mention then? Anyone else stand out to you?
I like Reece James, but I'm just going to praise him regardless. Yeah. But we got Hull next, and that should be another game that we should pretty much piss about in again.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'd look out for that Jared Bowen, because he's a fucking good player. Well, yeah, he should be getting through there. Quick mention to Huddersfield Town legend Michael Heffele. That'll pop someone who I know is listening to this podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right, well, go on, I'll move on to the Burnley game then. Again, I'm assuming that you didn't watch this, so it'll be just... it'll just be my input. Watching this on Bet365, because I couldn't go to the game. Unfortunately, it's a shame. But yeah, like Chelsea, completely rotated team. J. Rodriguez opens it up early on. And Eric Peters making it two. I mean, don't get me wrong, he should be nowhere near our starting 11, but that was a fucking good strike from Eric Peters. And then Endrick just making it 3-0. It's pretty routine, to be honest with you. It was just more of a training session for us. J-Rod eventually getting a brace. And yeah, like, for once we didn't go out in a cup match. It's just the one downer I have. Goodmanson got injured again, and I think it's probably time to sell. Like, it's just... Oh, it's such a shame, because he's such a good player. He's probably our best player when he's fit. Similar to what Stephen Defoe was. But he's just injured all the time. And one thing I will question about Dyche as well, why did he bring on Charlie Taylor, our starting left-back, on the wing, when you've got the young lad, Ali Koike, who is a winger, like, and he's been banging him in for our youth team. He's got something like 12 goals this season. He got 9 in pre-season when he was with the first team. Like, and he just keeps him on bench. I don't understand that. But yeah, apart from that, like, good rotated performance. Just a shame that injuries caught up to us for the league. Nice to see George Boyd return as well. Long-haired goat. He says we should have enough to not be caught into a relegation battle. Not sure I agree with him, but, you know, all the best, George. And one standout player as well. One standout player, Marcus Maddison, was actually all right, to be fair to him. He actually looked like a decent player. But yeah, this has just been a bit disjointed. Oh, actually, one thing I will mention. The Burnley fans giving Joe Hart abuse. Like, why? Like, yeah, he's a bit shit, but like, when he plays for us, like, just come on, back your team. Come on, that's all I'm gonna say. Like, no need to give him shit just because he is shit. Or at least on the ground, there's no need to give him shit. But yeah, just pretty training ground esque performance from us.
He's your number one keeper, isn't he?
Joe Hart.
Oh, he was last season, wasn't he?
He was when both Heaton and Pope were injured, but then Heaton came back, and now Pope's ahead of him as well. And we've also got young Bailey Peacock Farrell.
I liked him at Leeds.
Yeah, he looked all right. He was a bit not injury prone. He was a bit error prone. But I mean, obviously that's just because he's a young lad and he's at a high level. I feel like Billy Mercer, our goalkeeping coach, Peacock Farrell was better than Heaton when he first joined, and Pope when he joined, and they've turned into England internationals. So imagine what he can do to Peacock Farrell. Maybe you could turn him into an England international. No,
he's not Irish.
Yeah, that's the joke, Harry.
All right.
Do you want me to say that every time I make a joke for you, just to make it absolutely clear?
Who is Ali Koiki that everyone's going on about?
Ali Koiki, that's the winger I was on about. He got nine goals in Well, he's sort of like, he started out as a left back, but he's sort of been converted into like a left winger. But he can still play both pretty well. He can basically play anywhere down that left hand side. Yeah, I mean, he got nine goals in pre-season when he was training with the first team. And I think he's got something like 12 goals this season for his under-23s. He's really good, exciting prospect. Kind of reminds me of a bit of McNeil, but I don't know if that's just because he's our only other young player. But yeah, he's looking good. I mean, he was on the bench against Chelsea as well. So, I mean, maybe he's starting to edge his way into Dyche's plans a little bit. Especially
well, if he
with...
doesn't, I think he'll be going off to Man United or something like that.
What, Ali Koiki?
Well, yeah, if you're telling me he's scoring 12 goals and he's a defender, that's...
Well, no, he's a winger.
Okay.
Well, he started out as a defender, but he's now a winger.
He's a winger that scored 12 goals.
For the under-23s?
Yeah, but people want that in their academy. So...
I mean, Dyche is notorious for not really giving youth the chance. McNeil was the exception rather than the rule, because he had to, basically. But, I mean... Basically, our entire under-23, all of our best players have been loaned out, apart from Koike. So I don't know whether that's just he's trying to angle a better loan deal for him, perhaps in the Championship, or whether that's just he's actually trying to assert himself into the first team. But we do need another winger, and I feel like Koike would be a really good addition to the first team.
Do you want Marco van Hinkel?
Not really, no. No, I'm all right. Does he still play for Chelsea?
He's on our book somehow, yeah.
He must be like... He's like Jesse Lingard. He's been 21 for like 10 years. Like, I swear not. Has he ever played for the Chelsea first team? I bet you he hasn't.
If he has, it wouldn't have been in the Premier League.
No.
He's played twice, apparently.
He's played twice. I'm guessing those are cup games.
I'm going to have a look.
But he's 27. Like... 27. He's done nothing in his career. Nothing.
Oh my god. He's played one Premier League game and one Champions League game.
Jesus. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He was shit at Milan, shit at Vitesse, shit at Stoke.
He looked all right for PSV, apparently. I didn't watch much of him, but apparently he wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's true. But when you play for a team like PSV, they're pretty much pissed on everyone. Ryan Babel looks good over there. Jeez.
Ryan Babel's not too bad. He looked alright for Fulham. Didn't look too bad.
He was shit for Liverpool.
Yeah. But that's probably because of the level that Liverpool were at. Why he looked shit.
True. He's 27. Jesus Christ.
I know. Like, that's when players usually hit the prime around about 27, 28.
Yeah, exactly.
That's meant to be their peak years.
Do you want him then?
Not really, no. Well, I mean, we do need a midfielder. I mean, you've just recalled Conor Gallagher from his loan spell at Charlton. He's been recalled. And then you're looking to Angle. Apparently, this is just what I've heard. You're looking to Angle a lone move where he'll play every game, which, I mean, he was doing at Charlton anyway. But, I mean, that basically rules us out because we won't play him.
I want to see Billy Gilmore get somewhere where he'll play regularly as well.
Chelsea fans go on about him. Is he all right?
Yeah. We signed him from Rangers at the age of 15 for £1 million. Yeah. He's got into our starting team a few times in the Premier League. I rate him. I think he's a really good player.
I mean, it's hard to break into that midfield when you've got four top quality midfielders. Right.
He's probably the best thing that's come out of Scotland. And
that's not exactly hard, is it?
No, well, that's true, but yeah.
You've got Phil Bardsley. You've got, who else have you got? That's
Stephen Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher.
Ollie McBurney.
Speaking of Ollie McBurney as well, right? Like, why did he have to get punished for it?
What?
Have you not seen it? He was at the
Swansea
Cardiff derby.
I saw that.
Yeah.
He got punished. What?
Yeah, game's getting too... He got, like, a fine from the FA, I think I heard.
That's bullshit.
That's bollocks, man.
He was happy.
Just keep calling Swansea fans a wanker. Like, what's up with that?
No, it wouldn't have been the Swansea fans, would it? He paid for Swansea. Cardiff fans.
One of the two, I'm not too sure. I know he was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, any other games you wanted to go through? Anyone you want to give a special mention to?
I think Leeds should have beaten Arsenal.
Yeah.
If they
had a striker who could finish, they'd be a top half Premier League club, or at least a mid-table Premier League club. If they'd have just kept hold of Chris Wood, they'd be top quality. It's just that Patrick Bamford is shit. He cries in his car, and he just does nothing for that Leeds team.
The Reece Nelson goal was as scrappy as they come.
They all count, though.
Yeah, but Leeds should have won that, in my opinion. And that wasn't a fully rotated Arsenal side. That was pretty much very close to their starting 11.
Yeah. What was it with Sokratis playing right back? Has he played right back before for like Dortmund or something? Because I've never seen him play right back for Arsenal.
I've never seen him play full back ever.
I mean, he doesn't seem like your typical full back, does he?
No, too clunky. Mm. And his ball control was absolutely dreadful. Mm. I wouldn't want him bombing down the wing because he'd probably blow out a knee or something.
I mean, yeah.
Another game, I watched the Middlesbrough-Spurs game. I thought that was a brilliant game. Middlesbrough did excellently to keep in the game.
Spurs were basically a full-strength team, weren't they?
Yeah. Defensively, they were brilliant. Ashley Fletcher with a brilliant goal. So Middlesbrough, if they can replicate that in the league, they'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah. And Ashley Fletcher as well. I want to give a special shout-out to him, because he's from Keighley. That's where I'm from. Like, anyone who makes it from Keighley, like, you've got to support him. Like, there's Ashley Fletcher and there's Ricky out at Kaiser Chiefs. They're the only two famous people from Keighley. So I've got to give a special mention to
Ashley Fletcher for that.
You what?
Kaiser Chiefs, the football team in South Africa.
No, I mean Kaiser Chiefs, the band. Oh, that's gone straight over your head, mate.
Only Kaiser Chiefs I know is the team.
Have you heard of Voice? Do you watch The Voice?
No.
Well, they used to be one of the judges on Voice.
Didn't they have that Jesse J on there? They don't exactly put, you know...
Yeah, they had Will.i.am on from Black Eyed Peas.
Wow.
Yeah. Credit to Ashley Fletcher, though, for being from Keighley. That's really killed the... What your floor was. Go on. Sorry for interrupting.
I don't know anyone who's come from my town.
Your ends, no.
Like the place where I was born, not really. There's plenty from Eastleigh, but not from where I was actually born.
Right.
How
big's Eastleigh?
Well, there's a dispute whether it's part of Southampton or not. So we got an airport here. It's got 100,000 people here.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so but I live in a village.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, Keighley's just a small town, really. Like, I mean, well, I say small town. It's about 50,000. It'll be probably just under that, to be honest with you. But all of his money goes to Bradford. So there's, like, no what we get. You know, the booming metropolitan city that is Bradford.
Who'd come from Bradford? Jesus.
Exactly. Ugh. Why'd you come from Bradford?
Weren't you born in Bradford?
I weren't born in Bradford, no.
Well, where's Keighley?
It's near Bradford. It's like between Bradford and Leeds.
So what's a city then?
It's not a city, it's a town.
Yeah, so what town? Where is that town located? What is the city?
What are you on about? Towns aren't in cities.
Here they are.
Not. A city is a town that has a cathedral in it. That's what a city is.
Yeah, so where's Keighley?
It's in West Yorkshire. It's under Bradford Council, but it's not in Bradford.
Oh, so it's a bit like Eastleigh is under Southampton Council, but it's not in Southampton.
No, yeah, sort of
okay,
like that.
All right, okay.
It doesn't have its own MP. Oh, wait, yeah, it does. I'm
we
lying.
Do.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Keighley and Ilkley. We have to share it.
Okay.
You don't know where Ilkley is, do you?
No.
It's near Keighley.
Been north of London.
Yeah, I mean, once you get past, like, Leicester, then it gets all right.
Never been there.
Get past Birmingham, that sort of area. Then it gets all right. Once you start getting into, like, Lancashire, Yorkshire. And then North East is all right. I mean, it's better than London. But then again, syphilis is better than London, so.
I like London.
Nah, shit all. One big car park is London.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
If there's not a dry stone wall in a place, then it's not worth living in.
What the hell does that mean?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. You've not heard of a dry stone wall?
That must be a northern saying. I've never heard that.
Have you not heard of a dry stone wall?
Nope.
Oh, it's a staple of Yorkshire fields. You don't get them anywhere else in the world. Like, they're just the absolute peak of structural integrity. Like,
dry stone wall.
Dry stone wall. They're the best way to...
What the fuck is that? It's just a stack of rock.
That is advanced architecture, my friend.
There's a picture of one in Peru, so you're wrong already.
In Peru?
Yeah, there's one in Scotland. You can find them in France, Greece, Italy, Croatia, Switzerland, and Spain.
Nah, they're lying. Whoever said that, you're lying.
It's on Wikipedia, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, Wikipedia's lying.
It's lying. A Machu Picchu. That's a World Heritage site, isn't it?
Well, they're basically Yorkshire anyway. That's the only place you can find them in England, then. That is the best way to have fields. Like, because, I mean, obviously you're not going to know because you don't have grass down in the south.
Yeah, we do.
No, you don't. There's nothing green in the south. Genuinely. Apart from, like, Forest Green Rovers. Are they in the south? I've no idea.
They're up north.
Are they up north? I've genuinely no clue.
Right, just a quick clip from Future Chris. Gloucestershire's not the north, Harry. What the hell are you on about? Might be the north to you, but it's not the north to anyone else.
Really? I'm literally by a park.
Nah, you're not. You're lying. I don't believe you. That's an illusion.
It's actually a car park, but no.
Yes, car park.
I'm joking.
Oh, I rate that.
Dry
stone walls, they're absolutely perfect, and you can't convince me otherwise.
Why? What's wrong with a fence?
What's wrong with a fence? Dry stone walls just look so much better, don't they?
I think we've got Hengistbury Head down here. That's a cliff.
Well, yeah, but you don't put dry stone wall on a cliff.
No.
God. Oh, you know nothing about the environment, do you, Harry? God.
Yeah, I took geography and got a D.
Imagine taking geography instead of history.
History.
You took geography and history.
Yeah.
Well, what? Who did you play for in football then? History versus geography. Who did you play for then? God.
What?
Did your school not do that?
No.
Like, inter option? Like.
No, I think most people did history and geography anyway.
No, it's not right. You got to pick one or the other.
No, yeah. I mean, I had to do RE as well. Shit.
You had to do RE? Yeah. Imagine not doing RS.
RS? We have
RS. RS. Religious studies.
Oh.
RS is miles better than RE. I remember once, teacher said to us, right, oh, I'll tell you the difference between RS and RE at just some other time. Never told us. So I asked him, like, at one point, what is the difference between RS and RE then? He just said, I don't piss in nor do I? Just walked off. And I was just like, all right, so.
We basically just
I don't know why I remember that.
Teacher for that year.
You what?
We just fucked around with a teacher.
Yeah, I mean.
Put chewing gum on her chair
exactly
and put it on the ceiling. Fucked around with a projector because you know you can have like casting things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just put some porn on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were like top set, so I don't know what the hell bottom set was doing.
Yeah. Did you get any rape alarms?
No.
Oh, you didn't get rape alarms? Yeah. You should have got rape alarms, man.
Where the hell would you get them from?
I don't know. This kid just found this corner shop what sold loads of them. Like, and he just bought a load.
Where? Where do I get them from?
No, this kid just found this corner shop what sold them. I mean, you can't exactly go down to your local fucking co-op and get a rape alarm.
Ooh, who goes to co-op?
What do you mean who goes to co-op? Co-op have the best... They've got the best value food for what you pay. Like, look at that frozen meal deal, what they do. It costs like 20 quid normally, and you can get it for a fiver.
Why would you get?
Well, it changes every month. Like, sometimes you can get like a pizza, potato wedges, like garlic bread, like, and a ice cream and a drink. And that'll cost you like a fiver.
What, a frozen drink?
Well, not a frozen drink, but like a 2-litre bottle or something. That's value for money.
Is it like their own ice cream?
No, they'll do like Ben and Jerry's or something.
Fuck off. That's for 5 quid?
For 5 quid. I'm not taking the
piss.
That's
like one tub
of Ben and Jerry's.
That's like one tub of Ben and Jerry's.
I know it is. It's such good value. I'm not fucking about with you.
Oh, you only got Tesco Expresses down here.
Ah, right.
You got that up north or not?
Of course we have Tesco Express. What do you think we are? We've got cavemen.
Well, you do with your fucking brick walls.
Oh, brick walls. Oh my god. I'm ending this podcast now. Like, that's it. No more anti-football podcasts because Harry called a dry stone wall a brick wall. That's it, we're done.
It's a stone wall, so it's made out of rock.
Dry stone wall.
Why is it dry stone? I thought it's going to get wet, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but then it dries out.
Or is it impermeable?
Well, no, they get wet, but it's called a dry stone wall. If it rains, it gets wet, but it's called a dry stone wall. That's just how it is.
You got like the London Eye up there or anything?
Well, we've got the Blackpool Tower. Which
all
was
I've seen with pictures there is just donkey shit.
What? On Blackpool Tower?
No, not on the actual... How would a donkey climb the Blackpool Tower?
That's what I was thinking. Like...
Fucking mountain goats up there.
Nah, Blackpool's not that bad. You just have to stay on the front, otherwise you'll get stabbed. But I mean, at least it's got a better bridge than... It's got a better bridge? It's got a better beach than Brighton, because at least there's actual sand there.
There's one in Bournemouth that I go to.
I'm guessing it's just pebbles.
Yes.
Because that's all they are down south. There's no sand on your beaches, right? Go up to Scarborough, go up to Bridlington, right? And they're just brilliant.
Stop naming bridges, imaginary right? places.
Oh, imaginary places. Oh, my God. I have got to take you up north sometime, Harry. We'll make that a fucking bonus episode of the podcast. Harry goes up north. Take round all the wondrous sights of the north. I'll take you to Nelson. How about that?
What, the statue?
No, you divvy. That's in London. I'll take you to the town, Nelson.
When you say Nelson, are you thinking of the Simpsons character?
No, I'm thinking of the town in Lancashire.
You're going to take me to a shitty town?
Yeah, I'll take you to Nelson.
What the hell was Nelson?
I think Nelson was voted the second most miserable place to live in Britain.
Ah, yeah, take me there, yes.
Yeah, just behind Peterborough.
Peterborough?
Yeah.
They're even more miserable than you beating 4-2. Gee.
Yeah. Oh. I'm surprised, though, because Milton Keynes weren't on the list. That really surprised me.
Now, that'd be the most racist, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah. No, Milton Keynes is pissing horrible. They just leave bin bags, like, on the street.
You fucking cretins, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's a worse version of Hull. That's what Milton Keynes is. It's a worse Hull.
Is that a shithole?
Hull's a shithole, yeah.
Portsmouth. Portsmouth has some nice areas, but when you go to, like, Fratton, that's a shithole.
Yeah.
That should be voted the most miserable place to
live.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought, oh, let's build a football ground here.
Yeah. I think Burnley was, like, 8th or 9th or something. Which I don't know why. Everyone seems happy in Burnley.
They're not just masking.
I mean, not in turf, but, like, once you get out... I mean, you got a pound bakery. What more do you need?
A pound bakery?
Oh, my God. Please tell me you've heard of pound bakery.
I haven't seen one down here. We've got
Central to Naked. You can get two pasties for a quid.
Yeah,
a quid. You can get two of them.
Naked Baker.
Great. You can get two pies or two pasties for a quid. That is brilliant value. Like, you should see me right now. I'm making all the hand movements that I can to try and sell this to you, even though you can't see me. And none of the listeners can see me. But I am just bewildered that there's no pound bakeries down south. Absolute shithole.
There probably is, but they're not called pound bakery.
No, it's a chain. Pound Bakery's a chain. There was one in Keighley until it shut down.
Why, did you rob it or something?
Well, not me personally, no.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. Fucking someone robbed a pound bakery. What the fuck? Were they stealing? Sausage rolls?
They did some nice pasties at Palm Bay.
I don't think it's enough to fucking steal, is it?
Yeah.
For a pound.
Well, I mean...
It's not like M&S where it's like £10 probably.
Oh, the M&S shut down in Keighley as well. Probably because everyone robbed it. Yeah.
Do you have any businesses there, or is it just grass? Because people are scared to go there.
Oh, no. We've got 4 Greggs in town.
Why do you need so many Greggs?
There's a Greggs every 30 seconds. Walking time.
Obesity problem. Fucking hell. 4 Greggs.
Yeah. 4 Greggs in town.
Fucking hell. So instead of a pub crawl, you do like a Greggs crawl.
Do a Greggs crawl, yeah. Go and get them steak bakes. Anyway, the League Cup.
So stay in the win.
Yeah, that's staying in, definitely. Why wouldn't it? That's quality podcasting. Spending 20 minutes talking about dry stone walls and Greggs and oh yeah, this is class. This is staying in. This is best episode to date. Oh, I love this. Right. Man City dominated Man United. Go talk about it whilst I recover.
Just trying to get the lineups up. I'll watch this. Pretty dominating first half from Man City. Mahrez was an absolute cracker. Bernardo Silva has got more goals in 2 games than Lingard has in the last 2 years.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Andres Pereira with a comical own goal, and United tried to start a comeback, but very flat. Rashford getting a goal from Mason Greenwood's assist. I think... Even though it's a 2-legged game, I think that's only consolation.
Yeah.
To lose 3-1 at home is not going to help them.
Oh, of course not. But you know what I found really interesting, though, about this Man City side? No recognised strikers on the pitch. Well, that was the thing I found most interesting. I mean, it sort of ended up playing Silva almost in a Firmino-type role, where he's playing in Sterling and Mahrez, who were cutting in. And I found that really interesting. If it weren't for Aguero being the absolute machine that he is, I would think about maybe adopting that full-time for City.
Yeah, they seemed a lot more clinical.
Mm.
On my money.
Which is something that they've really been lacking this season, isn't
yeah.
that? Like, decisive finishing, some of what they've been lacking.
So, maybe they should look to play those three and getting rid of Hundawan, putting Silva behind the striker, and putting Aguero up top.
Yeah, maybe. Although, we saw on the weekend, they played two recognised strikers, and that ended up working even better, so...
Leicester Villa game. How long is Heaton out for?
Rest of the season, at least, I think.
Jeez, okay. Leicester were miles better than... Miles... Oh, for fuck's sake.
The miles better team.
Yeah, but it was... Frederick Gilbert, who's a fullback, getting the goal, which was their only shot on target, so 100% clinicality there. And then Iheanacho comes off the bench and saves them again. He's been, if it weren't for Vardy, I think he would be their striker.
Yeah, he's been in real fine form, hasn't he, Iheanacho? To say that most of us wrote him off. He's looking good, isn't he?
Yeah. He looked promising at City, but you just knew that it wouldn't be enough.
But and last season, he just looked awful, didn't he?
Yeah, couldn't hit a barn door at times. I think Leicester would be upset that they didn't kill the game off. I mean, they had plenty of chances. Fine form from Nyland.
Yeah. And they will be favourites going into the second leg, will Leicester. But Villa, they'll have a new goalkeeper. They've just announced that Pepe Reina is joining them on loan until the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. Don't really know how... he was good at Napoli. Obviously, his best times were at Liverpool.
He's not really had a chance at AC, has he?
Well, no, you're not going to be taking out Donnarumma.
Yeah, exactly.
Has he even played once? He's played twice this season, jeez. Oh, yeah, he was at Bayern for a bit. Jesus.
Was he? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was a loan spell.
I thought he went straight from Liverpool to Napoli.
Yeah, he did, but they loaned him out for a bit.
All right.
He's 37, so... coming back to Premier League at 37.
Yeah, but I mean...
Such as Villa, who are going to make him work because they're in that position.
Yeah, but keepers can go on forever, can't they? I mean, think about... like it's probably the equivalent of a 33-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming into the Premier League. And look how well he did for Man United.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm not saying that Pepe Reina will be as good as Zlatan was for Man United.
No.
But I don't think that age would be a limiting factor for Reina.
No. I mean, if they did have Reina from the start of the season, I'd still pick Heaton over him. Personally.
Yeah. I mean, you just get the quality leadership at the back with Heaton that you just rarely get from any other keeper, to be honest with you. I think he's one of the best at organising his defence, and I feel like we'll get onto it in a bit, but I feel like that's sort of something that we've really lacked this season.
Should we get into the game week?
Yeah, we'll get into Premier League 22, I think it was. Sheffield and West Ham were the Friday kickoff. Ollie McBurney getting the only goal before getting fined for being a fan. But the main talking point, obviously, with a ruled out goal from West Ham, absolute bullshit, wasn't it?
Yeah, completely agree. It was right at the death as well. That's definitely the worst time to do it.
I mean, to be honest with you, Chef Yu probably did deserve the win.
Yeah.
In the end, but like, yeah, it shouldn't have been ruled out. No chance. I mean, what was Rice meant to do? It was right at him.
No, I thought it was Snodgrass. Was it him?
No, Snodgrass scored, but it was ruled out because Rice handballed it.
All right. Yeah, I think I tweeted this out when it happened. I think the new rule is, regardless of whether it hits the ball accidentally or intentionally, it's going to be ruled as handball because it is giving you somewhat of an advantage.
Yeah, but that's not right. Like, what's he meant to do there?
I don't know. Was his hand in an unnatural position?
Well, not really, I don't think. Like, but I mean, it was, you could see him trying to get his arm, like, back, like, straight to his side.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah.
But he just couldn't do it because of the velocity of the ball. Like,
velocity, yeah.
Oh, shut up, man. Stop being pedantic.
Fabianski had a...
No, he didn't pick me up on it.
Yeah, I was laughing at it.
I thought you'd have picked me up for being pedantic.
No, because... yeah. Anyway, David Martin had to come in for Fabianski. Due to injury, David Martin does this absolutely awful goal kick. I can't remember who it was, but they didn't pick up on it. Ollie McBurnie basically runs in a goal, and he had a whole goal gaping and still hit the goalkeeper. It's fucking shocking. Yeah. He's basically the Fernando Torres of the Premier League at the moment. Even when he scores, it just doesn't look great.
Yeah.
And Sheffield should not see that win out, even though I think the goal should have, both goals, the offside one, well, that's factual. Handball is grey area, but if the new rule does state if it hits your hand intentionally or accidentally regardless, then, you know, free kick.
All right, so answer me this, right? A player, this is the 95th minute, right? Injury time, past all the allocated minutes. Goalkeeper has the ball for a team who's 1-0 up, right? And he just lobs it at the opposition's hand. Like, is that a free kick?
Well, where is his hand at this point?
Well, no, that's not what you're saying, you see. You're saying if it hits the hand,
yeah,
like, then it's a free kick.
Yeah, but is it giving that player an advantage?
Okay, say he lobs it at their hand and it bounces back in. Is that a goal?
Yeah, no goal.
No goal?
No, because that's given... He scored with his hand at that scenario, hasn't he?
That's bollocks, because it's not his fault. The keeper literally just... If the keeper just lobs it at his hand, what's he meant to do about it?
Because then if it's at your side, you're saying, oh, I can do a little flick with my hand to put it forward and set myself up for a volley.
Well, no, but how's he meant to move his hand out of the way?
I don't know, amputate it. I don't know.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
It did give them an advantage, though.
Yeah, but you've got to, like, account for the limitations of humans.
If the arm's by his side,
what's he meant to do?
Put him behind his back.
Yeah,
that's
what
defenders are doing now.
Exactly, but like, if there's no reaction time, like, how does he? I think you're chatting shit, mate, personally. I think you're just chatting absolute shit.
I'm just going by what the rule is saying.
I know, I'm saying the rule's bollocks, that's what I'm saying.
We'll take that with Greg Dyke, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, I will, I'll take it with Greg Dyke, whatever the fuck his name is. Right. We'll move on to early kickoff on Saturday. Arsenal Palace. Aubameyang... I feel like the main talking point was the Aubameyang red card. It was originally a yellow. I don't know how the fuck it got given as a yellow and rightly upgraded to a red, don't you think?
Oh, it should have been red straight away. Jesus Christ.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Snapped his shin.
Mm.
These refs are awful.
Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it? And again, Palace, like, I don't get the XG stat, to be honest with you, but I think they're like the most overperforming team based on XGs for and against us, somewhat, Palace. Which, I mean, was shown here again, because they've got a point where they probably shouldn't have done.
Who's saying XG? Is that only Sky Sports doing that?
Well, I've seen it like on Match of the Day as well. Like, it's sort of like an... it's weird, because like, it's an accepted stat now, so I'm too scared to ask what it means, because I don't understand.
I think...
It's meant to be like expected goals, but yeah. I don't see how you measure that. Like... How good a quality of a shot is.
Oh, they're not doing it by goals per game? And then...
No, I think they're doing it. It's like how many goals you're predicted to score / concede based on the quality of chance. But I don't see how you measure quality of chance.
Distance and angle, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, they use computers and event-based variables.
Fucking hell, Jesus Christ, I can't speak. Event-based variables.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds high-tech. Because as we all know, introducing technology into football is always a good thing.
So, like I said, it was... they'll be measuring several variables, such as assist type, shot angle, distance from goal, whether it was a headed shot, and whether or not it was defined as a big chance.
Well, what's a big chance?
Well, I'd imagine like a tap-in.
Yeah.
Or one-on-one with the keeper.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right, I think I get that.
There's something... Because you could be one-on-one with the goalkeeper, but you're literally side-on with the post. So...
Right, yeah. I think I'll get that.
Okay.
Right. And yeah, Palace are the most overperforming at that.
Overperforming, what they do better than they're expected to do when scoring.
They do better than their XG for and against.
Right.
Jeez, well, that was long-winded for one start.
I know. I don't know why they can't do goals per game.
Yeah.
Like, they're expected to do... It'd be over one goal, so let's do 20 by 20.
Yeah, I don't get that. But yeah,
3-2 goals they're expected per game.
Right. Don't know how you meant to score 1.32 goals, but
no. If they've scored 1.32 goals per game so far in the season.
Oh right.
On average.
Okay. Right.
Obviously, the best at that would be C.
Yeah.
Who manage almost 3 goals per game? Jesus Christ.
Mind you, the stats will have been padded from Sunday, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get onto that in a bit. But yeah, I mean, we're going on to the 3 o'clock on Saturday now. I mean, you got a preference?
Let's just have Hampton.
Yeah. I mean, we'll leave the derby until the end. Keep you lot waiting. But yeah, Southampton somehow managed to overturn all the odds and beat Leicester, a team who beat them 9-0. Earlier in the season, they went away from home and they managed to beat them. And they rightfully so as well.
Mm-hmm. Completely different 11 to the one that played the 9.
Mm.
I know. I said at the time, do not sack Hasenhüttl, it was the players. And lo and behold, it was the players. Leicester did open up the scoring, Dennis Pryor getting his first goal since signing. Stuart Armstrong, I think that was a deflected strike off Madison, and then Danny Ings always coming up in these big games, getting them.
Right, quick answer: yes or no? Should Danny Ings go to the Euros?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Especially if Harry Kane is struggling to make fitness, I feel like he's got to be in that on the plane. I'd say definitely.
Mm-hmm. But obviously Vardy won't be going.
Well, you say obviously.
Well, he should be going, but you said that he's retired.
Well, I did say he's retired, yeah, you're right, but I've read more into it, and it was basically, what he said was, I'll come back if Southgate needs me, but if he doesn't, then I'm retired. Like, if Southgate asked him to come back, basically, what it sounds like is, if Southgate asked him, then he'd do it, but he doesn't want to.
Right. I'd take him.
Oh, of course, I would, yeah, definitely.
I'd take him, Rashford, Ings, Abraham, and Kane.
Mm.
I'd consider Sterling more midfielder.
Yeah. So you'd take four strikers, then? Well, it depends what formation we play, I guess. Yeah. Whether we play with two up front or not. Because I'd consider Rashford more of a winger, to be honest with you. I think that's probably his better position rather than up top.
What, so you want me to take another striker? I'd take Calvert-Lewin then.
No, 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 because you're already taking four strikers. You don't need another one. That's what I'm saying.
No, because you said that Rashford's a winger.
Yeah, but you said you'd take Vardy, Kane, Ings and Abraham.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need another striker. Jesus.
No, sometimes they pick three goalkeepers and you're like, what the fuck are you taking the third one for? Mm. I think whenever they do that, I think that's stupid, personally.
Well, I mean, you don't want to end up in a situation where you've got no goalkeeper, no, do you?
True.
Better safe than sorry. You can live without a striker, but you can't live without a goalkeeper.
I mean, you can always put Sterling up top.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I'd put Grealish on the plane.
Mm.
Madison.
Yes or no, Hudson-Odoi?
No.
Yes or no, Harvey Barnes?
No, Sancho.
Yeah, Sancho. Obviously Sancho.
And given his performances for Roma, I'd probably take Smalling, to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to say as well, like, he's actually been really good. Mm. For Roma. He's been one of Serie A's top defenders.
Yep. Like, with Koulibaly.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Smalling and Maguire, that'd be a really hard defence to break down. Well, I say really hard. It's a really big defence.
Yeah. Would you take Maguire?
I would, yeah.
I'd start Gomez.
To be honest with you, I just don't think he starts enough for his club to start for England. I think if you don't start for your club, you can't start for your country.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yes or no, James Milner? That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, you can always go left back, yeah.
That's what I mean. He can basically play every single position apart from goalkeeper, can James Milner.
Mm.
And he's still a good player. He's one of the best squad players you'll see in modern football, to be honest with you, James Milner.
Mm-hmm. I'd take Ben Chilwell.
Yeah, I would.
Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
You have to take Alexander Arnold.
Yeah, obviously. Who are your right backs then? Obviously Arnold, but who else?
Walker.
Because you've still got three standout right backs. Well, you've got Trent.
Yeah.
You've got Wan-Bissaka, Walker.
I wouldn't take Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, and you've got Walker, and you've got Trippier.
Trippier's been good for Atleti. That's quite a dilemma. Definitely Trent. He's the starting guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a tough one. Well, I'd take Walker because he can play centre-back as well, actually.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to for Southgate to pick Trippier, I think the best course of action is probably Trent and Walker. And then you just got goalkeepers. I mean, Heaton being out is obviously a big blow.
Mm.
Who would you pick for in net then?
See, Pickford is the usual number one, but he's very inconsistent. Mm. Who would you go?
I think you do have to take Pickford. Oh,
actually, I'd take Dean Henderson.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think you do have to take Pickford, definitely, even if he's not your number one. I think you definitely have to take him. I'd take Nick Pope, because although he has made a few howlers this season, he's also proved that he's a really top-quality goalkeeper, especially in terms of coming out for crosses. I think there's no one better in the Premier League for that. And yeah, Dean Henderson as well, I'd say he's been a really good keeper for Chef U. I feel like if Heaton was fit, he'd probably be the man to miss out. But Heaton's obviously not going to go to the Euros. So, yeah, Henderson for me would be the third keeper I'd take.
An outsider for me would be Ben Foster.
Yeah, he's actually been really good for Watford this season, hasn't he, as well? How old is he? Because he seems like he's been around for a bit, Ben Foster.
Not.
He must be like at least 35 or something.
He's 36.
36,
by the time the Euros roll around, he'll be 37.
37, yeah. What about, who's that Bournemouth keeper called? Ramsdale.
Oh, Ramsdale.
What about him?
He's injured at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Mark Travers. Yeah. I'd probably...
Oh, and another outsider as well is Celtic's Fraser Forster. He's been doing well in Scotland, apparently. Got a real dilemma for keepers, don't we?
Well, Celtic have only conceded 13 this season, so, yeah, he'd probably have to be on the plane. But then again, it's Celtic, and they're not exactly...
Yeah, they're playing against Partick Thistle every week.
Yeah. That's five keepers. Pick three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said the three what I'd take. Pickford, Pope and Henderson.
I'd take Pickford, Henderson, Ramsdale.
Ramsdale, right. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Ramsdale. I mean, I mentioned him, obviously. He's a decent keeper. But he's made a couple of hours this season. And
he's
I don't...
one in fairness.
You what?
He's only 21.
Yeah. But that's what we've got youth teams for. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, in that case, I go Pope because he's more senior.
Yeah. I mean, he's already got some England caps as well, Pope. But yeah. Have we moved on to another Saturday game then? Where do you want to go?
Let's go to Man United Norwich.
Right. Yeah, I mean, each of the front three getting a goal from open play. Rashford, Martial, and then Greenwood off the bench. Rashford getting two as well, managing to get a penalty. And yeah, Norwich. I mean, we said this about Watford, so we can't discount them yet. But they look doomed, don't they, Norwich? 8 points off safety. And they do look like the worst team in the league, comfortably.
Yeah, I think Notch going down regardless. They haven't got the resources that Watford do.
Who was it who they brought in on loan from Hertha Berlin?
Who?
Norwich. They brought in someone on loan.
Duda, and they brought in...
They brought in another one from a Bundesliga club as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lucas Rupp.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with them too. I mean, I'm not big on European football. I mean, obviously, I know some of the big names, but I would just think
they won't do well. They can't even get into their current teams in the Bundesliga.
Right.
And they only spent $450,000 on Rupp. I mean, in this market, that pretty much signifies that he's not a great player.
Yeah, I mean, when you get championship players going for 20 million, you get more for League One players than 450k.
Yeah. I think they know they need players, but they just simply don't have the finances.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they just. You'd think that squad as well would be raided when they go down. You know, you'd think the likes of Max Ahrens, the likes of Jamal Lewis, your Todd Cantwells, your Buendas. You'd think they'd be off Three. In the summer. Yeah.
Pookie.
Maybe Pookie. I don't know. How old is it? He's only like... Is he like 30 or something, Pookie?
Team of Pookie. You're 29.
29, yeah. So, I mean, maybe you'd see him going to a club maybe on the... Of probably not a Southampton, but maybe like on the same level as a Southampton, maybe like a Newcastle or a Brighton or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The trouble with the likes of Norwich, Bournemouth and Watford is goal scoring. And I'm surprised with Bournemouth because Callum Wilson and Josh King have been brilliant in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being funny, but I don't know how Callum Wilson is keeping the likes of Danny Ings out of that England team. Because this season, he's been woeful.
Yeah.
I think it's just a case of Southgate going for plays who he knows, like, and he knows the name, he knows what they're going to do for him.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of friendlies coming up, so hopefully you can bring in some of the players that were on the fringes.
As for Man U, sitting in fifth, but they don't feel like it, do they? Like, do you reckon they'll get top... obviously, they're not going to get top five, I don't think. They're not getting top four, sorry. That's what I meant. But can you see him getting that fifth spot, Man U?
Yeah. I just think that the teams below him... Man United are the best of the worst teams, basically. Spurs and Mourinho, like I thought was gonna be a bad, you know, mix as being a bad mix. Arsenal are in a rut, and the Stan Kroenke is an awful owner. I don't know, understand why Arsenal fans take it out on their managers when it's clearly the board, because they're not signing players that they should be. Recruitment is absolutely woeful there. Everton are on the up and up, Anise.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, isn't it like three wins in the last five or something for Everton? Or three wins in the last four or something?
Three wins in the last four or something. Yep.
Yeah, so they're in some good form for Everton. And yeah, I just think, I don't know about Man U. I mean, Wolves, you'd think, would be pushing on a little bit more than they are, potentially.
They've dropped off.
I mean, they haven't won in the last three. And yeah, I just feel like the signings this season have been a bit of a disappointment for Wolves. I mean, Vallejo's done nothing, and Catrone's already gone. Like, I don't know whether it's a loan or a permanent, but I think he's already gone. I do remember specifically saying on this podcast, I won't get too excited, Wolves fans, about Catrone, because he'd only got 1 in 18 for Milan or something.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he didn't do well.
Who else have they signed this season? That's about
They signed a couple of players, Wolves.
Oh, yeah, Neto, he's been decent.
Yeah, Neto's not been bad.
Vallejo and...
Catrone.
Yeah, woeful.
I'm just looking through Wolves' squad. We've got a player called Lewis Richardson, and he's like profile picture. He's literally a Football Manager screenshot of his stats. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I'm looking at a team, and it's a lot of names I don't recognise. They severely lack squad depth.
To say that a Europa League club. Yeah, I mean, I could have seen them doing bits in the Europa League, but I mean, I don't know. It all depends on the draw with Europa League. I mean, they ended up getting Espanyol, which I think is a winnable game. They've got some players I do like Espanyol, especially that Darda guy. I like him.
Who do you like?
Darda, I think. Is that his name?
Who?
Someone like Sergi Darda or something.
Who does he play for?
Espanyol. I thought he looked decent. Anyway, the bits I've seen of him. The bits of European football I watch a little bit of La Liga and a little bit of Serie A. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and claim I watch Espanyol week in and week out. But the bits I've seen of him, he looks all right, does Darda?
He's played for Leon, right? Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah.
See, look at their team. Their team is very deep. So.
Who's this, sorry? Espanyol?
Yeah. And I think they're the first Spanish club to have a Chinese player, Rulé.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
Real Madrid have a Chinese player? Or am I making that up?
No. I don't think so. You're on about Takafusa Kubo.
Yeah, that's him. Isn't he Chinese?
No, Japanese.
Oh, right. I mean, I could make a lot of racist comments there, but I mean, I'll just leave it right now.
What, Takafusa Kubo?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah,
going to Valencia. I'm going to double check that.
Who's that?
Kubo.
He might have been loaned out. I think he's still at Real, though.
Oh, no, he's at Mallorca. He's 18.
Yeah, he's looking like a decent talent. But yeah, as for Man United, I think your Europa League next season is what they're destined for. Again,
unless
they win the Europa League this year, I was about to say, yeah. I feel like they've got to put all their eggs into that basket.
I just don't see them winning it. Who have they got?
They've got a Belgian club, don't they?
Yeah, Club Brugge.
Yeah, I didn't know whether it was them or Genk. But yeah, to be honest with you, out of the three English clubs, I think Wolves probably have the most chance to go on and win Europa League.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think my pick for the Europa League has to be Inter.
Yeah. Well, it's between two, isn't it? Inter and Ajax.
Ajax, you think?
Well, it's between Inter and Ajax. It all depends on who gets who in the draw. Like, Inter and Ajax could meet in round of 16, couldn't they? Like, but I think it's between them two who wins the Europa League, definitely.
I'd put Roma as dark horses.
I'll tell you who could be an outside bet, who I won't be against putting a cheeky tenner on. Rangers.
No way. No way.
Just as an outside bet.
No.
Why not? Why not Rangers?
Yes, they beat Lazio. But that was a very hard-fought win. And Lazio aren't doing very well in their domestic league. And I think they're going to have a very tough time against Braga.
And they beat Celtic very recently. Don't forget that. Rangers.
Yeah, how many games did that take them?
Yeah, but I mean, they're still a really good team, Rangers. As an outside bet, maybe not to win it, that's probably a push, but to go deep, I feel like Rangers as an outside bet would be good.
Nah, I see Braga knock them out.
Nah, not for me personally.
If you want an outsider, probably Sevilla, because they've done it before.
Well, I wouldn't say Sevilla is an outsider, really.
Just looking at the current squad, it isn't great compared to what they've had in the past.
Oh, no, of course not. Well, it's been raided, hasn't it? That's a big team.
Yeah.
We've spoken a lot about Wolves. Have we got a Wolves Newcastle?
Yeah.
Might as well stay on Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
One all draw, Almiron, again, popping up with a goal, starting to find his form a little bit. But again, the main problem for Newcastle, just got no forwards, do they?
No. Joelinton's been a complete flop.
Well, he's sort of playing out wide now, isn't he, Joelinton? But he's not good there either.
The top scorer is John Joe Shelby. Bloody. Yeah,
exactly. So they're all done it.
Pietro Willems.
He scored a screamer against Liverpool, didn't he? I remember that.
He did. So Almiron gets the opener. Dendonka gets his fourth goal of the season, which is pretty decent for a centre back. In all competitions.
Well, he's sort of like a half centre back, half midfielder, isn't he, Dendonka? Because like, he played in midfield for Anderlecht, and when they're defending, he sort of pushes up ahead of the defensive line, and Doty and Johnny drop back, and it sort of becomes like a back four. So he's sort of like half and half, isn't he, Dendonka? Which I like that about him. I like that versatility in his game.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be getting four goals.
Well, no, most of them will have been from set pieces, won't they?
Yeah. Well, that goal against Newcastle was corner. So
yeah.
I look at that Newcastle team and it's flop after flop.
Yeah. What I don't understand, why are they playing Isaac Hayden at right back? Like, he's such a good defensive midfielder. Why are they playing him at right back for?
Yeah, play Matt Ritchie there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I'm looking at their injury list. It's Jesus Christ. Jack Colback, Ki Sung Young, Jamal Lascelles, Javier Manquillo, Yoshinori Muto, Alan Saint-Maximin, Fabian Scheer, Junjo Shelby, DeAndre Yedlin.
Yeah, there's a lot of key players there.
Because he got injured in the game.
Yeah. There's a lot of key players there out for Newcastle. Saint-Maximin's a really good player. I mean, I watched him...
I watched him do a roulette into a for a throw-in, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Last time I watched him live was when Burnley played Nice in a friendly pre-season. That was his last game for Nice, I believe. And we beat him 6-1, and he did nothing. But he is a good player for Newcastle. After swapping his Gucci headband for an Adidas one, like, he's done all right. But he's just injury prone, isn't he? Or at least he seems that way. Was he injury prone for Nice?
Not really. He was at Monaco, I believe. I think he's just mostly all flesh, no substance.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
at least Zaha.
He's got an end product, which is more than you can say about most of them Newcastle players.
He scored one goal.
Again, which is more than you can say about most of them Newcastle players.
There's Thomas Allen on the bench and someone called Kelland Watts. So that's two new names they've had to call up from their academy. Oh my god, and the Wolves bench is probably even worse. The only senior players are Brian Bennett, Morgan Gibbs-White, John Ruddy, and Ruben Vinagre.
Yeah. Mind you, that Ashley Seal, I've seen his name a couple of times on that Wolves bench. Seems like he's sort of being phased into that first team.
Okay. And Max Kilman as well.
Yeah.
A few times, actually. But I don't know who Oscar Burr is.
No, I've not heard of that. I mean, if there's any Wolves fans listening, get in touch. Tell us why we should care about Oscar Burr. Because we don't at the moment.
Do you expect to see some Portuguese signings this month?
Maybe one or two. Just to consolidate that squad depth. Because, I mean, obviously that super agent just has contacts everywhere, doesn't he? With Portuguese players. But I'm not expecting to see too many, because at the end of the day, most high-profile players, like, they don't move in January. Like, you just don't see that. Or at least not nowadays, anyway, because clubs demand ridiculous fees in January.
Is it Jorge Mendes? Is that the manager? The agent, sorry?
Well, that sounds like a Portuguese name, so we'll just go with that. I have no clue who the super agent is. I just know him as the super agent.
Jesus Christ, he's got Ronaldo on his books.
Flip. I know.
What's his net worth? Worth more than 1 billion. All right.
Who's that, Ronaldo or super agent?
The super agent.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Ronaldo is either going to go to one of two clubs in England if he does come back, which is Wolves because of that super agent link, or Notts County because of the Juventus Notts County link.
Not Man United.
Nah. I do think that's really nice, that Juventus Notts County link.
Yeah. That would never happen, though.
What, Ronaldo at Notts County?
Yeah, I don't
know. Of course it won't. Yeah. But Notts County did beat Juventus back in 2011.
What, in a friendly?
Yeah, they played them in a... I think they play them every so often in a friendly, Juventus and Notts County.
Was it like a really... Was it like Juventus C team, I think?
No, no, it was like proper Juventus team. Do you not know the story between Juventus and Notts County?
Yeah, two Englishmen went over there and they adopted the stripes of Notts County.
Yeah, because they didn't have any kits, so they lent them the Notts County kits. And then when Notts County were about to go bust, Juventus sent them a load of money.
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. And now they're playing in a friendly every so often. It's just nice. I like that about football. It's just nice. I mean, I'm grinning like a buffoon here. Like, just to move on.
I just remember when Real Madrid played Bournemouth once. Big event.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I forgot about that.
Ronaldo takes a free kick and hits it so hard it breaks the girl's arm.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Yeah. Is there any other Saturday 3 o'clock games? I don't think there is.
No, we covered all of them.
Nah.
Oh, no, Everton, Brighton, sorry.
All right. Everton won. There, it's covered. No.
No, Ricardo scored with his back to the goal.
Yeah.
A lot of strikers you'd expect to miss that. But Brighton didn't really cause any threat. I think that win was in the bag.
Yeah.
And Everton on the up and up under Carlo Ancelotti. Do you think Europa League is viable for them or not? They're only 4 points off.
Well, I mean, you can't look past them. I think it all depends on, because they've got a really hard run of games coming up. Like, they've got a couple of easy games, and then they've got Arsenal away, Man United at home, Chelsea away, Liverpool at home. If they can get 7 points from those four games, then I think definitely Europa League contenders.
Well, beating Man United would be huge because that's a 6-pointer.
Yeah, and Arsenal as well.
Well, I don't realistically see Arsenal as contenders, to be honest.
Well, Arsenal are above Everton.
On goal difference, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be a big game.
Yeah, but I don't see Arsenal. Who have they got next? They got Sheffield United.
Yeah, they got Sheffield, then they got Chelsea, then they got us, which is a 3-pointer for them, and then they got Newcastle, and then they got Everton. So
yeah, in between cup games, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it all depends on that run of fixtures. If they can get some points out of them, then yeah, I think Europa League contenders isn't out of the question. But yeah, we're going to move on to it later. Kickoff, Spurs and Liverpool.
Yep.
Boring
match.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, boring match. Who was that? Tanga Ganga Danga Danga Nyanga Nang.
Taganga. Tanga.
Yeah, that's his name. Who the hell's that?
I don't know, but I thought when the commentators were first saying it, I thought they were saying Tanguy wrong because I thought they were talking about Ndombele.
Ndombele, yeah.
But
he wasn't even in the matchday squad, so that confused.
Yeah. I have no clue. I guess just like Kyle Walker-Peters came out of nowhere, so's he.
So is Yafet Manzabi Tangananga.
Yusafi? I've only got Jafet.
Jafet Manzabi Tangananganan.
It says he's an English international. Is he actually? Oh.
The under 20 level.
Yeah, he's representing England since under 17 level.
Under 16s as well. He played 3 times for England under 16s.
Okay.
Wow. Impressed. But no, I'm being a bit harsh. He didn't play that bad, to be fair, to say it's his Premier League debut. You obviously don't agree with me there.
No, well, he did all right.
To say it was against Mane, like.
Yeah, it was just a boring game. No one really stood out.
No. Liverpool just did what they had to do, end of day.
Yeah. Son had probably the best chance for Spurs. Absolutely skied it.
Mm.
Just typical Spurs. They are very toothless about Harry Kane. And I don't know why he's going to stay. I don't know why he continued to stay at that club, because he's not going to win any trophies.
Yeah, I mean, he could basically go.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he could basically go to any club he wanted to, Harry Kane. Right. And he'd get into that team. Like, the only team what I don't think he could get into that team and be a starter is Man City. But that's because they've got Aguero.
Ahead of Firmino.
Well, I think they'd find a way to accommodate both of them. I think they'd probably drop Firmino back to more of a number 10 like he was at Hoffenheim and then put Kane up there. You could accommodate both of them.
Yeah.
And then play Henderson and Wijnaldum as a midfield two.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Is there anything to add besides it was a bit of a boring game?
Not really, not. I mean, something I did pick up on was a lot of long balls from Liverpool. Like, which, I mean, it highlights the fact that, again, the midfield gets bypassed, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I've noticed that Spurs' defence was playing a high line, so I guess they were trying to get in behind that and failing time and time again.
Yeah. I just think it was a... It was obviously, it was a tight game because it was a 1-0. Well, yeah, I feel like that Spurs defence, like you said, they probably paid a bit too high.
Liverpool were just crappy. Spurs were crappy, but Liverpool happened to be make the most of one chance that they were given.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you've got to do to be able to win leagues.
I think if there was a better Spurs team on the day, I think they could have ended that unbeaten run. Both teams are very sloppy, very lethargic.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's just... I don't know what it is, but the Liverpool team, they don't look as good as they did last season. Like, they don't look anywhere near it. Though they're like 14 points clear or something.
Yeah, I know. They're not as entertaining, I think.
Oh, no, they're nowhere near as entertaining, but I mean... In terms of being, like, as clinical, like, they're not as clinical as they were last season either. Like, this Liverpool team last season would have put 3 past this Spurs side.
Yeah, I think it's just... I think Mane's been their best player this season.
Yeah. Salah's been a bit hit and miss. Like, he turns up one game and then he goes missing the next.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think anyone's going to beat him?
No, I can't see anyone beating him, to be honest with you. Or at least... Not in the Premier League, anyway.
Isn't Liverpool Man United this weekend?
I know it's coming up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool play Wolves.
It's Wolves away, yeah.
See, Wolves turned around a 2-0 deficit against City. So...
Yeah. What was the result earlier in the season?
What, between Wolves and Liverpool?
Yeah.
1-0 Liverpool. It's these crappy 1-0 games. It's not like they're smashing everyone. They just scrape a win. Their defence has been miles better than their attack.
Well, yeah, but they're doing what they have to do end of day.
Yeah, I know, but if you take Van Dijk out of that team, they'd be conceding a lot more. Cause
yeah, no question.
Was it the Spurs game where Van Dijk made that death or glory... tackle?
Might have been.
He was literally gonna go. I think it was.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would have had Liverpool dropping points if he hadn't have been the final man.
Because
his timing is like no one else's. He's easily the best centre back in the world.
Oh yeah, by far. And I don't think you're gonna get anyone arguing with you on that point.
And it's some games he's looked pretty poor, but they've only conceded 14 goals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, like, it's those 1-0s, but because they've got such a tight defence, like, they don't need to be scoring 2 or 3 a game.
No.
Like, they've got 50 goals this season to Man City's 62, like, and to Leicester's 47. Like, so they're not phenomenal going forward, but they don't have to be again. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean when I say that their defence is miles better than their attack.
Yeah.
I just don't see an attack outside of cities that can break them apart, and even... Yeah.
Or at least in the Premier League, anyway.
Yeah.
I reckon in the Champions League, they might have a bit of a tougher time.
Yeah, I think Atletico's going to get a few past them, but all go through.
Yeah. With the best forward in the world, Alvaro Morata, as you know.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they've also got Costa. And one of the worst mistakes that Chelsea ever made were letting Costa go.
Well, it was more the dispute with Conte, which is why he left.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They should have just kept him. They got rid of Conte like 6 months later anyway.
Yeah. I don't think I think he was very out of form at that point.
Mm.
But when he was in his prime, that was brilliant. Should we move on to the Watford game?
Yes, let's. A relegation six-pointer and Bournemouth bottle it.
Well, they had
one shot on target in 10 shots. That's unacceptable for a team who's 19th in the league.
Yeah, Mark Travers with an awful goal kick. And they're broken apart. So it was Decore who got the goal.
Mm. Decore got the first, yeah.
Yeah. And then Troy Deeney smashes in the second one. The Watford fans chanting Deeney. I thought that was a good moment. I know they probably done a lot, but you don't really get, I don't know, you don't really get that with top sides. It doesn't feel as homely.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. Just...
Well, it's more because of the way they run like a business. So the fans are less like a football club. Also, a lot of international fans as well. Right.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And then Pereira smashes in a third. Mm. Decore just replicating that time where he was one of the best midfielders in the Premier League for a season.
Yeah. Yeah,
for the first time this season, Watford are outside the relegation zone.
I know. I mean, remarkable to think that there were a team that lost 8-0 and a team that lost 9-0. And neither of them are in the relegation zone.
That's insane.
I think it just shows how bad some of the teams have been this season. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pearson's done a great job with Watford. I mean, obviously, it's a new manager bounce. And I mean, I'd like to see how Pearson reacts to a loss for Watford and how they manage to bounce back. Because, I mean, they've got Spurs next, which could easily lose that. But then they've got Aston Villa, which is a big game, big, big game. And it'd be interesting to see if they can get out coming off the back of what is most likely going to be a loss.
Well, they spoke to Deeney after the game and they basically said that Pearson has stripped their football back to basics.
Mm.
Short passing.
Which is what you need to do sometimes.
Yeah, I think managers try and overanalyse it.
Mm. And what I will say is that this is the first game in four games, in the past four games for Watford, that they didn't get a man sent off.
they ended the game
with 11 men on the pitch.
Yeah. That's quite a stat, jeez.
Mm. They got Mariappa sent off against Villa. They got Cabasele sent off against Wolves. And they ended up getting Pereira sent off against Tranmere.
It goes to show their aggression at the bottom of the league. They're very physical.
Yeah.
Maybe too physical.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's what you need at the bottom. Is a bit of fight and a bit of steel. That's what you need to be able to stay in the league. Because you're not going to be able to get the quality technical players if you're at the bottom of the league. So you need to be willing to fight for every loose ball.
Yeah. Yeah, but they could be at their detriment going down to 10 men.
Well,
obviously it hasn't, but I'd bite them on the arse at some point because they're going to miss those players for up to three games.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, Cavaselli's not really much of a miss, is he?
Not really, no. I don't think. Well, I mean, obviously not because they won, didn't they?
Yeah. Should we get into the Man City?
Ah, yes. My favourite game of the weekend because Danny Drinkwater was shite, the fucking snake.
I have to go down as one of the worst debuts in Premier League history.
Yeah, it has to be. Okay, ask me what was worse. What was the worst debut? This Danny Drinkwater debut or the Jonathan Woodgate debut for Real Madrid?
Didn't he get sent off on that?
I think he got sent off. He missed a penalty and he scored an own goal.
Yeah, I'd say that's worse.
Yeah, I mean, poor Woodgate, man.
Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, Drinkwater's wasn't much better.
No.
I mean, we were all shouting at Dash, why won't he start drink water? This is why. Because he's shit. Yeah. I mean, against Man City, you can't afford to be doing that.
No. But they just got dispossessed. I mean, Courtney Houser was at fault for the last one.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, I hope we get rid of him. Even if it's on a free, just absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, he is getting £130,000 a week for playing football. Is that man?
That is a joke.
That is an absolute joke. When you consider, like, you know, how much is Tammy Abraham getting? How much is Mason Mount getting? How much is Hudson-Odoi getting compared to what Drinkwater's getting? Well, Hudson-Odoi is actually getting a lot. He's getting like 200k or something.
No, he's not.
I swear he signed like a massive deal with Chelsea, didn't he, Hudson-Odoi?
I can have a look, because I think their contracts are public.
I could be wrong. I mean, you probably know better than me, but I swear remembering he signed a massive contract or something.
Yeah, he's on $120,000 a week.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, that's mental for a player his age. But still, I'd rather pay $120,000 a week for Hudson-Odoi than $120,000 a week for Drinkwater.
Jovinho versus Newcastle.
Jovinho versus Newcastle.
Yeah, that was his debut. They built him up to be as good as Eden Hazard, and he was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, Jovinho was shite. I mean, don't get me wrong, he wasn't exactly Marouane Chamakh, but he's no Nicolas Pepe, and that says a lot. And when we're saying he's worse than Pepe, who's got, like, 3 goals all season.
The worst Premier League debut is Ali Dia versus Leeds United.
I don't remember that. What happened there?
Well, he's the imaginary player, so pretty much this agent calls Graham Souness and says, look, he's Graham, he's George Weah's cousin, he's so good, you need to sign him. So without even having a look at any clips or, well, I suppose the internet wasn't professional is now.
Yeah, but he could have asked for tapes.
Yeah, but he doesn't, he goes and signs him. After 32 minutes, he replaces Matt Letizier. He basically just ran like a headless chicken. And then the 85th minute, he had to take him off because he was so bad.
Oh, Jesus.
Sub and a substitute, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that quite a lot at Everton, but I don't feel like that was warranted, to be honest with you. Yeah.
This was pretty much... Well, Aguero's now the top foreign goalscoring player, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think, doesn't he have the most hat-tricks as well or something in Premier League history?
Yeah, Aguero. 12 hat-tricks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know. He is scarily good. He's Aguero. And I mean, it worked as well, playing Jesus up front with him. I wondered how they were going to work with two strikers, Man City, because they're not exactly the type of team to have two strikers. But I mean, that's working relatively well for them.
Yeah. I think... They should have gone that from... I think that was the first time they've got started together since September 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And in that partnership, they scored 18 goals in 10 games when they joined that time.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you didn't just go with that now. Smashing 6 against Villa, no one's going to catch you up then like Wolves did.
Exactly, yeah.
That front line was unstoppable.
Well, I mean, they've got Palace at home next, which is a really winnable game for them.
Like, yeah, and there's no point messing around with that lineup. They're going to be ruthless.
Exactly. Like, and, I mean, after that, they've got Chef U, which, I mean, they haven't played... Oh, no, they have played Chef U, that's a lie. But away from home, that'll be a tough game for City. So.
They got a very good defence. It'd be good to see him tested against a ruthless attack.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the big one?
Yeah, go on. Let's rip that plaster off then. Chelsea 3, Burnley 0. I'll let you go first. Go on. Take us through this game then.
domination. We were clinical, which is something I've been crying out for the last couple games. Even when we win sometimes, it just doesn't look convincing, and we've been punished for it in the past. Finally, you know, the team like Burnley, they didn't really cause us any threat, but it's just, I know, because Brighton didn't cause us any threat. We 1-0 up, and then in the last 10 minutes, they get a kick on, and they go and find that equaliser and potentially look like winning. But good thing we killed it off early, because Jorginho converts a penalty. No one can stop his penalties.
No, that was a good penalty. I'll put my hands up to that.
Mm-hmm. Reece James puts in a cross for Tammy Abraham to head in. So it's 2-0. As P sets up, Callum Hudson-Odoi and a big error from Nick Pope. Probably shouldn't have scored. Oh, no, sorry.
Well, that was the second. That
yeah. Shouldn't have scored from that. Really, Abraham. But Hudson-Odoi was basically a tap-in. And the Chelsea fans going, oh, you see, he's going in Premier League games now. I mean, that's what people were like when Tammy Abraham scored. But let's see it, because he was absolutely woeful against the top six side. Callum Hudson-Odoi looks, unless it's not given to him on a silver platter, he's pretty shit. You know, scoring a tap-in, anyone can do that. Well, unless your buddy McBurney, because he has to hit the goalkeeper. Yeah.
Well, that's something we specialise at, is giving players silver platters to score on. I mean, fucking hell. There's just nothing. No steel, no energy. We had a midfield of Dean Marnie and Joey Barton. Like, where the fuck is that gone? Like, we're just shit. Against the top six, or not even the top six, but against the big six, we offer nothing. We start the game on the back foot and we just do nothing all game. Like, I mean, we get a goal ruled out for offside early on. Tight. It was very, 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 very tight. And I mean, I genuinely can't tell whether it was or not offside, because it wasn't straight on. But I mean, it was ruled off because they got the lines out. And then we give away a penalty. Lawton is just fucking dog shit. Like, I mean, I'm not going to complain. Like, that just is a penalty. Like, I mean, I'm not going to complain at that. Like, and then Abraham 2-0. It's just a miscommunication at the back. Like, if we had Heaton in net, I'm not going to get into the debate of Heaton or Pope, but if we had Heaton in net, that definitely wouldn't have happened. Because Pope thought me were going for it, and me thought Pope were going for it. And that's not me using bad grammar. Like, just a miscommunication. Like, and that's the main, well, not the main thing, because the main thing we're lacking is a midfielder. But that's one of the big things that we've been lacking this season, is leadership at the back. Because Ben Mee, as good as a player he is, he's not a leader. Nick Pope is not a leader. James Tarkowski is not a leader. Like, Charlie Taylor's not a leader. And Phil Bardsley's not the type of leader to organise his defence. And that's something we need. And then eventually start at second half, it's 3-0, and that's game over. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. We've been unlucky with injuries. I mean, We had like 9 players out for that, like, which, I mean, obviously we should be doing better, but I mean, still, like, it's just terrible, isn't it? Like, absolutely woeful. Like, from an outsider's view, which you are, we offered nothing. We offered piss all. Like, and I mean, yeah, we had Bardsley out, we had J-Rod out, we had Lennon out, we had Barnes out, we had Gibson out, we had Goodmanson out, but that's no excuse to not. Bench. What's that?
Gibson was on the bench.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, we must have had
there's
some.
There's only one substitute in the whole game, Jesus.
Yeah, that's something that really fucking pisses me off about Daesh, is that He gives Vidra 15 minutes when we're 3-0 down. What the fuck's he going to do with 15 minutes when we're 3-0 down? He's a stubborn bastard, is Daesh. And he's got, right, Gibson, Peters, Bardsley and Long on the bench. Four fucking defenders. What the fuck are we going to do with that? And we've got Joe Hart as well. Like, we've got two attacking players on the bench. Ali Koike, who's never played a minute in the Premier League, and Matty Vidra, who he gives 10 minutes to. Like, oh, so annoying. Like, we need serious investment because we are in fucking trouble. We are sleepwalking our way into relegation. We need serious investment with a midfielder, a winger, and a right back. We need serious investment. Not any pissing about buying squad players. We need those players for the first team.
Okay. I don't think your club has the finance to do that, do they?
Oh, well, you see, you're just like Mike Garlick, you. Like, we've been in the Premier League, right?
This is what I was telling you. I told you he's a corrupt bastard. Now he's doing it.
I don't think he's corrupt. I just think he's thick. Like, we've been in the Premier League 5 years. 5 years! Like, and we've spent what? An average of like 10 million net spend.
That's shocking. 5 years. You would make more than that. That's shocking.
Something like that. Of course we will have done. Like, you get like 100 million for finishing bottom in the Premier League. We've been in the Premier League for five years.
TV money and all that. And shirt sponsors and.
Exactly.
Boards on the ground.
Yeah, shocking. I mean, we built a state-of-the-art training ground, which is brilliant. One of the top training grounds in Europe, apparently. Never mind the Premier League. But you can rely on that as an excuse for about 18 months. But what I don't get is the owners, surely they've got to realise that relegation would be more financially damaging than spending 20 million in the transfer window on a player. Surely they've got to realise that. And no one's expecting them to go out and spend 100 million. Because we're not going to do that. We can't do that. Like, we're not thick. But we just need first team players. That's all we need. That's all we're asking for.
I mean, what's the most that you can realistically spend on a player?
Well, his record signing's been 15 million.
That was before, yeah?
No, that was Chris Wood.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Defoe was like 8 million or something. But, yeah, like, you'd think, mate, we offered, in the summer, we offered 20 million to Leeds for Calvin Phillips, and they rejected that. So how come we've got no money now? How come we've got no money now when we were offering 20 million for players? It's just shocking.
Has he got Twitter?
Who?
Mike Garnick.
Oh, no. His son had a Facebook, but he got bullied off it. Yeah, it's absolutely shocking. Like, I get it. I do get it. Because they don't want us to be Bolton, where we get relegated and then we're in deep shit.
No, they were doing exactly what you're doing. They're not spending money and it's hitting them hard. So then they continually lose money from dropping down the leagues to the point where they can't even afford their own players. That's how Blackpool, Bolton, all that lot got down there.
Well, no, I can understand what they're doing because they don't want us to get relegated like what Sunderland did. They don't want us to get relegated and have players on ridiculous wages and be in serious debt.
Fair enough, yeah.
Like, that's what they're trying to avoid, which I get that, but surely the priority should be staying in the Premier League, not planning for when we get relegated. Like,
the only club that should be doing that is Norwich.
Because they're 8 points adrift, yeah. We're outside of the relegation zone. And we're thinking, please let Phil Bardsley be fit for the next game. Phil Bardsley, he's our best right back. He's like 35 years old. He was a Stoke reject. And we're praying that he's fit because we don't have another good right back. Like, oh, it's so frustrating. We've got more first-team goalkeepers than central midfielders. Surely something has to be done about that.
It sounds like, you know, you said about you got the state-of-the-art training ground. It sounds like he's too reliant on the academy. He's too reliant on Burnley being self-sufficient.
Well, the problem is, Daesh doesn't bring up the youth academy players. Like,
there seems to be a miscommunication between manager and owner, because he's obviously bought the state-of-the-art training facility for the kids to come through, and Daesh should be filtering that into the team. There's obviously, they're not talking to each other, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, I just think Daesh wants money to spend. I just think that's all he wants. And I mean, why can't he get that? When we're an established Premier League club.
They're not talking.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
is Garlick a very ignorant sort of big head?
I wouldn't have said that, really, because he's been his owner for a while. Like, he took us from the Championship to the bottom of the Championship. Like, people forget, the season we were promoted in 2014-2015, we were like fourth favourites to get relegated from the Championship to League One. Like, and Garlick was the one who appointed Daesh. Like,
yeah.
So, like,
well, I can
tell. And he's from Burnley, local lad. He's been a Burnley supporter all his life. But I just think, right, if you're not willing to spend, why do you own a football club?
Using your club as an ATM to get more money.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think it's not that, because he's a Burnley fan. He's from Burnley.
Yeah.
Like, I think he still lives in Burnley. But, like, it's just so frustrating, because we buy no one. Like, look at our transfer window. Look at our January transfer window last year. We made one signing that was swapping Sam Vokes for Peter Crouch. That was our big January signing to help us stay in the Premier League. We were so lucky that Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes stayed fit, because Daesh would have played Peter Crouch ahead of them. Like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, for example, we're linked with Andre Gray coming back, making a return. Like, and Watford apparently wants 7 million.
All right.
Like, and apparently we can't afford that. We can't afford 7 million.
7 million? Jesus.
We can't afford 7 million on a player.
Can't get that.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
He's making profit every game week from tickets.
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous. It's not like we're having to pay rent on a big stadium or something. Like, we've owned Turf Moor since, like, the early 1900s. Like, it's one of the oldest grounds in the league. So it's not even like we're having to pay for all. It's not even like we're in debt. Like, apparently, like, according to the reading of the budgets, we've got, like, just under 90 million in the bank of Burnley.
Not Garlick, Burnley.
Well, Burnley, yeah. In terms of finances, Burnley have, like, just under 90 million. And I think Garlick has somewhat like 30, 40 million. He's not really rich. He's one of the poorest in the Prem, actually. But if you add that 40 million onto the 90 million, that's 130 million. Like, you can afford to spend £7 million on a player. Like,
yeah, but are you taking into account yearly wages? Because that adds up.
Well, yeah, but like, we don't have players on big wages. Like, the biggest earner in our club is Sean Daesh on 50,000 a week.
Okay, so what's that? So 52 times like 50. That's 2.5 million ish.
2.5 million, and he's the biggest earner.
There's 23.
We don't have players on ridiculous wages, you know.
Yeah. It sounds sort of like you need to ditch Daesh, get a new owner.
Ditch Daesh?
Yeah, Southampton were in League
if
One.
If it wasn't for Daesh, we'd be rock fucking bottom.
Even Southampton, they went from League One to Premier League under Nigel Adkins. The moment they were getting into the relegation zone, they sacked him and brought in Pochettino, and then he put him into Europa League, which unfortunately, you know, they couldn't progress out of the playoffs. But and then once he did really well, Spurs took him on, and then they brought in Hasenhüttl, who's doing good job, I mean, he hadn't got really got the players, but yeah.
Nah, I'm.
Ronald Koeman as well.
Nah, we can't sack Dyche. Like, he is too good of a manager for us. Like, we just need to get rid of Garlic. That's all we need. Or we just need money. I sound like Dutch off Red Dead Redemption. We just need money. Like, oh, it's so frustrating.
How do you get an owner to leave?
Well, exactly, you can't. Like, Arsenal fans and Newcastle fans, like, and Man United fans, they've been trying that for years. I remember, right, it was the last game of the season when we won the championship. It was Charlton away. Like, and the Charlton fans were all doing protests against the owners, and all Burnley fans joined in that. Like, because you can't do nothing about
it.
If an owner don't want to sell, he don't want to sell. And there's nothing you can do.
When it comes to big clubs, you don't tend to see it. Like with Blackburn, they were doing like massive stadium, like, I don't know what it's called, but they just didn't attend the game.
Walkouts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. At Man United, you just see a banner, Glazer out,
and
there's 80,000 people there. I mean, I don't think one dude versus 80,000 people is quite... And Burnley has 30,000, and there's only one Glazer, one Garlic out. It has to be the whole stadium doing it.
You're not going to get that, because you've got too many... You've got too many... old Burnley fans who go to Burnley and they'd go, oh, I'm not bloody missing game, like, for sake of protest. I want to watch my team. Like, you'd get too many of them, so you'd only get, like...
Arsenal, do you remember the planes going over Wenger out? Obviously,
but Burnley fans can't afford a pissing plane. We're Burnley, we're a town. We're a small mill town. Like,
but you can make a banner. You just need to get, like, a blanket.
Yeah, but that's going to do fuck all, isn't it?
Not
a football. I mean, I don't know. It's just really depressing.
Not something my club will ever go through, hopefully.
Yeah, I wish we had a pissing rich Russian billionaire owner.
Yeah, but what did Arsenal do? They don't like him.
Yeah. Why couldn't that sheikh who bought Sheffield United, why couldn't they just bought us? It's really depressing. Like, because the thing is, we're getting relegated within the next couple of seasons. Like, that's just a fact.
I think that might be sooner than you think.
I know. If it's not this season, then it's almost certainly next season. Like, I'm preparing for it already. Like,
and then what happens with this podcast?
Well, we can still do the podcast. Like, there just won't be much Burnley talk.
Can hear the cheers already.
Yeah. Oh god, it's so depressing. Yeah. At least don't have Danny drink water. That's a plus, right? Could be worse. Could always be worse.
We were paying for him.
Yeah.
Don't know why we still are. Here's your severance package, mate. Off you go.
Yeah, exactly. Go be a plumber. Right.
Not on his severance package, jeez.
Oh, no. Aye. Right, well, I mean, Jesus. For me, that's a depressing end to the podcast. I mean, have you got all else to add?
Not really, no.
Nah, go on. Have you got all to plug, then?
Follow my Twitter at HazardChelseaFC.
Yeah, you can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod, and you can follow me at IWGPChrisBFC. Right, well, I mean, that's it then. Like, pissing depressing.